Boker Tov, we are here at Shiftei. We've just started Melachim Aleph last week, and we are now moving on to, we got to the first, we're in the first parak, I think, still, right? We're still in the first parak. We got until Pasuk Mem, okay? Let's just summarize what we saw last week, add one or two points, and then move on to new material. So, what happens at the beginning of Sefer Melachim? Avishag. David is cold and he needs someone to comfort him. So Avishag Ashunamit, this whole huge search part, you know, search is created to find somebody for David. They find Avishag and
Excuse me, but in terms of biblical ages, 70 is
pretty good. I was reading in a book today in the Chevra Chabur, which meets a little bit earlier. Apparently in England 300 years ago, like the average age was 26 or something. People died, you know, very, very young. So 70 is a significant period of time.
No, but in biblical age.
Well, biblical age.
Jesus only started, what was he, 60 or something?
Yeah, well, biblical age, you know, and originally people were living to 900
right.
years.
Adam, no, but after that. So
after that, you know, it's. Moshe's 120,
yeah,
and then.
Start out with like 80.
The ages seem to get become more similar to our day and age as you go later and move later in Tanakh. So what else happened? So they have a search party. They find Avishag, and what happens after that? What happens after that? Who's an important character? David, one of David's sons, Adoniah decides what he's the fourth son of David. The other three, two of them have been killed already, okay? And the third son, Caleb, we haven't heard about. The fourth son is Adoniah. What does Adoniah do? He crowns himself. And what do we think about this, good or bad? Who's not happy about this? Who is happy and who's not happy? Who's happy and who's not happy? But Sheva's not happy at all because she said, you promised me that Shlomo was going to be king. Who else is not happy? Natan HaNavi, good. Who else is not happy? Benayahu ben Yehoyada, who's David's, you know, closest guard. Who seems to follow along? You know, you have to decide where you're going to put your, where you're going to invest your money, right? Which campaign are you going to join? So who likes this? Who says, okay, we'll join Adonia's party? Who is that? Some important people. Okay. First of all, we have Eviatar HaKohen. Eviatar is an important name. He's going to come up today. Eviatar Cohen joins Adoniah. So you need a religious figure. American presidents and Israeli prime ministers, when they run for office, they always want to have a pastor or a big, you know, Rav Avad Yosef or Rav Yashiv. You know, you go to a big gadol and you say, you know, listen, we need your sign off to my candidacy. Same thing in America. You have these, you know, big name Protestant pastors who you know stump for the president. So who else? Who else? Someone really important from him. You need a military guy as well. Who's the military guy? Yoav. Yoav joins Adoniah. The same thing is true here in Israeli politics. Every party's got to have like the general, the guy who's going to become, you know, Sar HaBitachon or Sar Ha, what's the word? It's not Bitachon. Yeah, Sar HaBitachon. Right? And you need that person, you know, the general, someone who has military experience. Even on the left, they always have a general as well to be part of their party. What else? Who else joins? Anyone else critical? Those seem to be the main people. Now, so what happens? Natan goes to Batsheva and says what? We have to stop this. So Batsheva, they create this little plan. Batsheva goes in and tells the king, hey, Shlomo is going to be the one. And Natan follows her. And what does David say? Does he hesitate? Does he question this? What does he say? He says, go and coronate Shlomo. Go to Nachal Gichon. Go down to the Ma'ayan. And it was in Nachal Kijon or Nachal Gichon. I think it was Nachal Gichon. And coronate Shlomo. And then you have all these cheers and cries and the shofar blowing. And there's all this noise. Okay, and we're going to see what happens to Adoniah's party, which is happening at the same time when they hear this noise. It's going to be somewhat deflating. Now, here's a few things I just want to pick up from last week. Number one, what is the purpose of this whole story? The purpose of the story is, there are two different elements here. Number one, to teach us that Shlomo being coronated as king, that Shlomo was not born into sin. You might have thought Shlomo, well, he's born to Bathsheba and David. This is an appropriate relationship. This is telling us, you know what? These are things of the... That's not the case with Shlomo's standing as king is final, is conclusive, is complete. Okay? That's number one. But number two, it's interesting to see David at the end of his life. Because the large question that hangs over the story is, why does David not appoint the king before this? What are you waiting for? You know, this is the most important decision. You know, sometimes we procrastinate about the most important things and we do the really small things. It's like, David, come on, how could you leave this? After what happened with Avshalom, how could you leave this to doubt? And I will tell you that good leaders always make sure that there's someone to continue after them. And they step aside. They know how to step aside at the right time. Okay, and I'm thinking of two people in particular, Rav Aaron Lichtenstein and Rav Amital, the Rosh Yeshiva of the Gush. They could have said, no, I'm going to be Rosh Yeshiva until the day I die. But what's the problem with that? Then it leaves chaos in your way, because no one knows who's going to be, who's going to lead afterwards. So what do they do instead? They say, you know what, we're going to appoint Rosh Yeshiva a few years before, you know, when we're still in our prime, make sure that there's a smooth transition to the next generation. And that is how leaders should behave. They shouldn't hold on to the last minute. So what is happening in David's life that he's incapable of doing this? And Rabbi Alex Israel, you know, argues that at this point in David's life, we see a pattern. And the pattern is that David, he really loses, you know, he's not the same David as he is earlier in Sefer Shmuel. After the episode of Bathsheba, the story then of Avshalom, and Amnon and Tamar, David, a little bit of his clarity of judgment, I would say, is not quite as sharp. With Amnon and Tamar, he's slow to react. With Avshalom, he dotes upon Avshalom, even though Avshalom is undermining his own dynasty. You know, and clearly this is in response to sin that David HaMelech doesn't. You know, it takes a toll on him. It takes a toll on him. And there's sort of a vacuum in the monarchy. And, you know, he's moving away from public life. And this is we're seeing the effects of that. But David ultimately does not choose a successor. And this is why, you know, it's so important, so critical for, at least for Bathsheba, for Natan, that they step in and they say, we gotta right this wrong. We gotta make sure that, that the future leader is chosen. So this is we see David is really is carrying the guilt of his sin, okay, of his action. And we see that play out practically in this story. There's a it's not so related. Okay, let's move on to the next to the new part here. Pasuk Mem Aleph. Pasuk Mem Aleph. Okay? So, Shlomo is coronated as king. And there's all these, there's music and dancing. Pasuk Mem Aleph, 41. Vayishma Adoniyahu v'chola kurim asher ito. Adoniyahu and all the people who came with him, okay, we're in chapter 1, verse 41. Aleph Mem Aleph. V'hem kilu le'achol. You know that moment when the music stops? You know, it's just dead silence. Yeah, just really flat. And they're like, oh, They finished eating. Vayishma Yoav et kol ha-shofar. And Yoav hears the shofar. He says, well, wait a second. What is that shofar? Madua kol ha-kiryahu ma? What is that sound, this call that we hear? This noise of all these people rejoicing. Odenu medaber. They're still sitting there talking. Vine Yonatan ben Avatar, a kohen ba. And Yonatan ben Avatar, a kohen, comes. Vayomar Adoniyahu. Adoniyahu says, Bo Yishchayel atav, etov tevaser. When you come, Yonatan, you always have good news. So tell us good news. Vayan Yonatan vayomer, la Adoniyahu. This is as blunt as you could be. Aval Adonenu HaMelech David Him Lichet Shlomo. There's no, you know, well, Adoniyahu, I have some good news, I have some bad news, you know. Listen, the king, but the king has coronated Shlomo. And that's when the music died at this party, okay? And not so exciting. Vayishlach ito hamelech et Tzadok ha-kohen ve et Natan ha-navi v'nayahu ben Yoyada v'hakareti v'apleti. David has sent Natan and Tzadok, who's the other kohen, and Benayahu ben Yoyada, and they've sent all these people, the guardsmen, vayarkivo oto ala perdat hamelech, and they're riding Shlomo on the mule of the king. It's interesting that the king had a mule, you'd think, or a donkey. They've anointed him with oil, and they are celebrating. This is the voice that you heard. It couldn't be any worse for Adoniyahu. Okay, all his fundraising is now going to dry up. No one's going to give any more political donations to his cause. This is bad news. And furthermore, Vigam Yashav Shlomo al Kiseh Amlucha, Shlomo is already sitting on the king's throne. So much has happened. Vigambo Abdei HaMelech Levarech Ad Adonayahu Ad Adonainu HaMelech David Neymor. And they've also come now to bless the new king. And what do they say? Yeitev Elokim Et Shem Shlomo Mishmecha. Shlomo's name should be bigger than yours, David. Vigadel Ad Kiseo Mikisecha. And his seat, his throne should be, you know, more large, or, you know, more expanded. And the king even bowed to Shlomo as the king while he's, you know, on his mishkav, while he's on his in his bed. Okay, so, and furthermore, the gam kacha amar melech, the king also said, Baruch Hashem Elokei Yisrael, asher natan hayom yoshev al kisi, de'inai ra'ot, how blessed I am, that there's now a king on my throne and I'm able to see. So the party is now over. Vayachardu vayakumu kol hakeruim asher laAdoniyahu. Everyone who was with Adoniyahu, now they're fearing for their life. They suddenly run away. I wasn't at that party. I don't know what you're talking about. They'll erase, delete all the pictures, and get rid of everything on Instagram and WhatsApp and Facebook. You know, no, there's no trace of a party here. Okay, vayalchu ish ledarko. Everybody went their way. Okay, so it's like when the cops come to a party and suddenly no one's there except for the owner of the, you know, the place, person who owns the place, and he's like, well, you know, you're responsible for this, but there are all these other people, we don't see them, they're all gone. So Adoniyahu yarei mipnei Shlomo, and Adoniyahu now fears Shlomo. Vayakom vayelech vayachazek bekarnot hamizbeach. Where do you go for refuge? You go to the Mizbeach and you hold on to the Mizbeach, because chas v'shalom that anyone should kill you in the temple of Hashem. In the, there's no Beit HaMikdash yet, but where the Mizbeach is at the very least. So we hold on to the Mizbeach, and there was a famous incident in history in 12th, 13th century in England, where Thomas Becket was killed by Henry II, I think, right? And he's killed specifically in the church. There's also a story in Masachat Yomad, Daf Kaf Gimel, of, this is a story that's told by one of the Nevi'im, Zechariah HaNavi, I think, or at least there's a Midrash about it. Bikitzur, someone's also killed in the, Kohen is killed in the Beit HaMikdash. This is the you know, this is sort of the ultimate form of, you know, of you know, how could you kill someone in the, you know, in the Beit HaMikdash, essentially. There's a term I'm thinking of, but I can't think of it right now. Bikitzur, this is so that he goes to protect himself. Shlomo is told that Adoniyahu fears you. And he swore that Shlomo shouldn't kill him. Shlomo said, he says, if he's a ish chayil, a man. Okay, if he's tov and a man, he's good and he's trustworthy, I won't kill him. If he imrat imatzei bo v'meit, but if evil, if he commits evil, I will kill him. So you don't want on your first day you become king, you don't want to kill someone right away. That would be bad for Shlomo, if because then the headlines wouldn't be about Shlomo's king, but rather Shlomo kills Adoniyahu, who's trying to be king. So you have to have good headlines at least on the first day. Shlomo says, no, don't worry. You can leave the Mizbeach. He bows to Shlomo. Shlomo says, okay, you can go home now. Go home. Okay? And that is the end of Perek Aleph. So, Shlomo was firmly established as king. Adoniyahu is certainly no longer going to be king. At least that's what it appears like. And he does not kill Adoniyahu. Okay, again, that would be pretty bad if on the first day of his new rule, he's already killing people, and that would be a terrible thing. So he chooses the path of peace, and he lets Adoniyahu go. After all, he is his brother. But when politics get in the way, sometimes that doesn't matter, right? So now we're going to see, in this next chapter, Perek Bet, we're going to see the final words of David HaMelech. David's going to pass away in this chapter. There are two parts. David's going to give instructions to Shlomo. What are the final things David wants Shlomo to know? And then we're going to see the first things that Shlomo does as king. What does he do? What, you know, they say, what's he going to do the first 100 days of his rule? Okay, first 100 days. Well, let's see what's on the top of his list of things that he's got to take care of. And you know, there's always, it's important to understand that at transitional moments in a monarchy, in a democracy, it doesn't matter. When you move from one ruler to the next, it's always a moment of tremendous vulnerability. Okay? Especially when you have a very strong king who's dying now. Is this guy going to be able to stand up to him? Is there going to be a coup? You know, and it's very, these are like critical moments. And the new king's got to really establish himself. Otherwise, it's going to be a flake, okay? And he's going to lose the people. He's going to lose support. So let's see what David commands or teaches, educates Shlomo about at this moment in his life. Vayigravu yimei David lamut. David is getting close to his death. Vayitzavet Shlomo beno lemor. And he commands his son Shlomo as follows. I am going the way of the land, meaning I'm gonna die. You should be strong. Be a man. Okay? That's what he tells his son. Be a man. But it's very important that you guard the ways of Hashem and walk in his path. Lishmor chukotav, to follow his statutes. Mitzvotav is mitzvot, mishpatav, ve'edivotav, all these are all different types of commandments. Okay. Katuv b'Torat Moshe, as it's written in the Torah of Moshe. L'ma'an taskil eid kol asher ta'aseh, ve'eid kol asher tifnesh sham. In order that you will taskil, that you will be successful in everything that you do, in every way that you go. L'ma'an, and furthermore, yakim Hashem et dvar asher diber alai le'mor, to also help fulfill that which Hashem has promised, im yishmeru v'anacha et darkam l'alecha lefanai be'emet b'chod v'avam b'chod nafsham le'mor lo yikaret lecha ish me'al kisei Yisrael. Hashem promised me, if your children and your descendants follow me and worship me be'emet. What's be'emet?
Truth.
In truth, with honesty. Okay? We sing this song. V'taher li beinu le'ovdecha be'emet. That we should do things with honesty, with authenticity, with sincerity. In truth, we should do it. Be'emet. Okay, b'chol levavam v'chol nafsham, with all their hearts and all their souls. And then Hashem says, lo yikar lecha ish me'al kisei Yisrael, then your dynasty will continue forever. So, David is telling Shlomo, the first thing you need to know, you have to follow Hashem's ways, and his mitzvot, and his Torah. This is the first piece of guidance. But now he's going to add another type of guidance, and we're going to have to see what the connection is between these two things. Vigam. Okay, the gam can be an important word. Vigam. Who am I going to say? Vigam. Charvona zachur latov. We sing this on Purim, right? Vigam charvona. What did charvona do in Megillat Esther? He told him, "Oh, by the way, the Haman, he's gonna kill Mordechai. He's got a gallows in his backyard." Okay, vigam, it's an important vigam. Ataya data eit asher asali Yoav ben Tzruya. You always also remember what Yoav ben Tzruya did to me. What did Yoav ben Tzruya do? Well, we know most of in this immediate story, he helped. What side was he supporting? Yeah, sided with Adoniyahu. But what else did Yoav do in his life?
He killed
two people from Beit Shaul. Who did he kill? Avner ben Ner and Amasa. Okay, Lamasa ben Yeter by Hagim. He killed two very important people who were part of Shaul's cabinet. And David wasn't so happy about this. Because David felt that this was overly aggressive and unnecessary. There was no need to kill these people. David felt things would have worked out over time. We didn't have to kill off these people from Shaul's kingdom. Now, this is very interesting advice in light of what David's now going to tell Shlomo.
So he's not to kill his brother.
Well, one second. Let's see. So he says, you remember what Yoav did to me? We're in Pasuk Zayin. Asher asali shnei sari tzivot Yisrael avner ben ner lamasa ben yeter vayahargim. How he killed these two. These were, remember, it's just important to understand the story. Shaul is king. His kingdom is ripped away from him and given to David. And then Shaul decides all he wants to do is kill David. He becomes enemy-centered. All I need to do is kill David. And he goes a little bit, he's off Shaul. He loses it. He loses his mind a little bit. Now, in the midst of, after David is elected as king, Shaul and his men are still sort of floating around. And it's Yoav who gets rid of them. Okay? And David is not very happy about this because he feels that innocent blood was shed. Vayitain, okay, vayasem demei milchama b'shalom, vayitain demei milchama b'chagorato. He, you know, put blood in his chagor, is, you know, that the belt that you wear, you hold your sword. Asher b'motnav v'nalo asher b'raglav. Meaning he's inserted blood into his, unnecessarily into his actions. Now David says something very interesting. Ve'asita kechochmatecha. Do something, act according to your wisdom, Shlomo. Ve'lo toreid sevato b'shalom she'ol. Don't let Yoav die in peace. Ve'lo toreid sevato b'shalom she'ol. Don't let him die in peace. Now this is very interesting. Because David was just upset that people were killed when he became king. But now he's sort of suggesting that what should happen, you should get rid of Yoav. Okay? This is pretty harsh advice. Furthermore, should we turn off the AC? Yeah? Stella, would you mind turning it off? Yeah. V'livnei varzilai hagiladi. And now David has a little bit of, he's a list of people who we have to, we've got to deal with. Pasuk Zayin, v'livnei varzilai agiladi tase chesed. Ah, but the barzilai agiladi, do chesed. V'hayu be'ochlei shulchanecha. Make him an advisor. Let him be, sit at the king's table. Some people who are always guests of the king. He should be a guest of the king, a ben bayit of the king. Hikein karvu elai b'varchim ipnei avshalom achicha. When David was running away from Avshalom, when he left Yerushalayim, Barzilai HaGiladi provides food for David. Okay, he's good to David. So be good to Barzilai. But then there's a third person. V'inei machashim I ben Gera ben Hayimini mebachorim. You know about Shimi ben Gera. V'hu kilalani kilalani mretzet b'yom lechti machanayim. V'hu yarad likrati hayardein. Va'eshavalo va'shalemor im amitecha becharev. Okay, now, what happened with Shimi? Shimi was a real problematic character. Perhaps the most problematic character in all David's reign. As David is leaving Yerushalayim because of Avshalom, the rebellion of Avshalom, He has to flee Yerushalayim. So Shimi, who had always been a supporter of Shaul, starts throwing rocks at David. Okay? Rock throwing is an old pastime here in the Middle East. Okay? And he curses David. And he says, you should have never been king to begin with. Shimi was Shaul, the king's most ardent supporter. 30 years later, he is still holding on to that grievance that David became king instead of Shaul. So he curses David, and he was cursing David in a moment of weakness. As David's fleeing Yerushalayim, he says, oh, look at you, you pathetic nothing. Okay, you shouldn't be king. Have been king to begin with. Now God is bringing upon you what you really deserve. Now, how does David respond to Shimi ben Gera? Anybody know? What? No, then, earlier on, how did he respond to Shimi? How do you respond, David? So Yoav says, should we kill this guy for you? How could you let someone curse the king? How indecent, how disrespectful, right? How does David respond?
But I won't put you to death, that's all.
David says, don't put him to death. You know why? Because Hashem is speaking through Shimi right now. Okay, this is Hashem telling me a message. What message was David internalizing? Look at the terrible things that I did with Bathsheba. This is a punishment because of Bathsheba. David wants to be whipped, if you will. He wants the lashing, in a sense. Okay. Now, I quoted this source by Shimi during my Shabbat HaGadol, not Shabbat HaGadol, Shabbat Shuvah Drasha, when I spoke about anger management in a time of an age of rage, that when something bad happens to us, okay, we're supposed to see this as a test from Hashem, and we're supposed to, we shouldn't get angry because this is Hashem speaking to us, okay? And the challenges are you going to get angry in this moment or not? So this is an example of David not getting angry because he thinks that Hashem is speaking to him.
Is that real or you just decided that?
No, this is
angry when something bad happens, it's from Hashem speaking, is that?
Yeah, so it's in the sources. I quoted a source from the Tanya. The Lubavitcher Rebbe, Rav Shneur Zalman of Liadi, he says that, you know, there's this idea that when you get angry, kolakoeis ki'ilu oved avodah zarah. If you get angry, it's like you're worshipping idols. Why is that the case?
Wow.
Because you're giving, you're acting as if what happened has, first of all, you lose your control, okay? But it's not just about losing control. It's about that you're giving, whatever happened to you, you're treating it as if it was, you know, as if it's, you know, not coming from Hashem. And that's why you're getting angry, because you're not seeing the message, the rebuke that you're supposed to receive, or the message that you're supposed to receive from this this action. So the example he gives also is Shimi ben Gera. So David does not kill Shimi ben Gera, but now he has slightly different advice. And he even promised to Shimi that he wouldn't kill him. He swore to Shimi that he wouldn't kill him. But now he says to Shlomo, so he came down to the Jordan when David was running away. I swore to Hashem, saying, that I wouldn't kill him by the sword. Don't let him go free. You're a smart guy, Shlomo. You'll know what to do. Ve'horadata et sevato b'dam she'ol. Let him go down to she'ol, in blood. So a few things that are interesting here. Things that David was not willing to do beforehand, he's now telling Shlomo to do, which is interesting. But number two, David twice says to his son, ve'asita kechochmatacha, ki ish chachamata, you're smart. So this is the first quality of Shlomo that we learn about, that he's smart. Smart here doesn't just mean he's book smart.
Savvy.
He's savvy. Be savvy. Be shrewd. Be politically savvy. Or, to use the right term, we're going to talk about this a little bit more in just a second, be Machiavellian. Okay? Be a shrewd politician. It seems like that's the advice he's being told now. So we have to try to understand this a little better. But also, this is interesting way that David educates Shlomo. You know, sometimes you could tell someone, you want to get someone to change or to grow into a particular derech in life, You could keep saying, don't do this, don't do that. Or you could strengthen their strengths. Say, wow, you're so smart. You're so good. You're so smart. You're so wise. And that's how you'll encourage them to act wise, as opposed to saying, don't do anything stupid, right? So there are different ways of educating. Sometimes you have to raise someone up and emphasize their good qualities. And that's what David is doing here. Don't worry, Shlomo, you're a smart guy. I have confidence in you. I have trust in you. Okay, that's what David is communicating to his son right now. Now, we have to understand the connection between the first piece of advice that David gave, which was follow the ways of Hashem. And then remember we have this word vigam. Vigam, 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 vigam. What is vigam? And also, by the way, you should kill all your political opponents. Like, what? Seriously? These are the values of the Torah, that you're supposed to kill anybody who you don't like? How are we supposed to understand the connection between the first part of this parak, you know, the first part of this advice and the second part? It's almost like anybody like The Godfather? Yeah? How could you not like The Godfather? Okay. Has anyone here not seen The Godfather? Okay, you have some homework for next week. Okay. Yeah. What, say again? You've avoided it. Ah, okay. Well, let's talk about The Godfather for a second. What's the guy's name again? Remind me, what's the name of the main guy? The head boss. It's about a mafia, Italian mafia family, right? What's his name? Oh my God. Wow, this is, you know, last year we spoke a lot about Star Wars, okay? But now we're talking about The Godfather. What is The God, you know, I'm going to have to take this part off in the recording. This is an embarrassment to us. Okay.
None of us know the name.
Yeah. Okay. The Godfather, the main character, is Don Vito Corleone.
Oh, that's it.
Corleone. Okay. Now, what's interesting about the Corleone family is that Corleone has his home, and then he has an office in the back. The office in the back is only for the men. There are never women in that room over there, okay? Because the women and the children shouldn't know what happens, you know, behind the scenes. And that's where, yeah, he suggests and he intimates and he tells his guys to do his bidding, okay? And as the boss of this this mafia family. But the key point is that there's a separation between sort of the public image of this guy as a family man and then the ruthless, cruel, vicious Don Vito Corleone that happens behind closed doors. Is David HaMelech acting like a mafia boss here? I mean, what is he? You know, first he doesn't follow the words of the Torah and kill this guy and kill that. And then let's go to the back office. We're going to have a whiskey and I'll tell you what you're going to really do now. Okay. So this is, you know, what is, so how do we understand this? So Radak says, Vigam, I'm going to read in Hebrew here, Vigam. Lirabot al mitzvot Hashem asher tziva lelecha b'darach Hashem amar v'gam zoti midarach Hashem. This also is the way of Hashem. What is that? Livaer anshei harasha, harasha. To get rid of wicked, cruel people. That's also the way of Hashem. Ki atay adati et asher asad liyoh. Because you know what these people have done. This is also part of the command of the Torah. Okay, you have to do this. Okay, to kill in this situation. Yeah. Okay. This is what how Radak understands this. We know there's a principle that kol hachomel al ha'achzar basof yitachzer al ha kol ha'merachem. Excuse me, kol ha'merachem al ha'achzar. You know, whoever is merciful to those who are cruel will end up being cruel to those who are to the merciful. There is an element of certainly an element of truth to that. This is what Radak is saying, that you have to get rid of evil. Destroying evil is also part of the Torah command. And so Shimi for sure is evil. Shimi is evil. Although the question is, he's still a threat. Is Shimi still a threat to David? or to Shlomo. You know, this sounds like a little bit more like you know, settling old accounts. You know, so one approach to this is that this is part of the values of the Torah as well. The second approach, which is approach that Abba Avinel takes, is that, and I have Abba Avinel here, that Abba Avinel essentially is saying, you know, he understands this, that, you know, he was teaching him that you're going to have to be very careful of these people, and you're going to have to establish your throne, because if you don't, there are going to be severe consequences in the future. Okay? And I'm going to read the Abba Avinel English. David did not command Shlomo to execute Yoav and Shimi for earlier crimes, for which he himself did not have them executed. But his thinking and intention was to inform Shlomo of the manner in which Yoav and Shimi acted against him in order to caution him not to appoint them to high office, out of concern that they could manipulate him, Shlomo, and act in a similar manner to the way they had conducted themselves with David. The purpose of this bequest was counsel and education, that he should be wary of them and to punish them seriously should they betray him. So, this is a tough perush, because no one would think that Shimi would be appointed to the cabinet. Maybe Yoav, but not Shimi. Shimi was, you know, everyone knew he was David's enemy. You know, but the, you know, critically what he's trying to teach him is that you have to be aware of potential threats, that you have to act in a savvy manner. Okay, so it's not so much a moral message of get rid of evil. This is more about... Yeah, watch your back. Watch your back. But it's pretty clear David also suggests that you should kill them. Okay? Yeah. It's not clear to David there's another option here. Otherwise, they'll become a fifth column or undermine his rule. And there is something intensely Machiavellian about this. Okay? Everyone heard of Machiavelli, who wrote a book called The Prince. And he writes about how politicians have to behave. In order to gain power, maintain power. And he says, one comment, he says, you could be feared or loved. There's no middle ground. And, you know, and Machiavelli, of course, doesn't really care about morality. The ends justify the means. Doesn't matter how you do what you do, but you want to accomplish what you want to accomplish. And unfortunately, we see that this can be he's right in many ways. If you want to be successful, these are the things you have to do. But we also believe in morality and ethics. And so it's really about balancing these two things. Okay? You can't be a political idiot and only do what's always, you know, morally right in every moment, because otherwise you're not going to have continuity. You're going to lose your kingdom. So it really is about a balance between these two things, about being politically shrewd, but also holding yourself to moral demands in the Torah. And these are not easy things to do. They're constantly clashing with each other. And but we do, as Jewish people, we demand that politics not just be about, what is politically expedient, but also what is morally correct and morally right. So this is David, though, teaching his son, you know, both you have to listen to the Torah, but you also need to be politically savvy. And this is the reality of the world, that you need both of these things. There are moments when we wish that our leaders here in Israel would balance this a little better. And that we recognize, you know, you have to play politics sometimes, but you also need to have an overarching sense of values and principles that guide you. And sometimes that is sorely lacking in our political system. Tov. Pasuk Yod Vayishkav David im avotav. David passes away. He's buried along with his forefathers. Vayikaver b'ir David. He is buried in Ir David. We've spoken about where Ir David is. Today it's still one. Vayamim Hashem Malach David al Yisrael 40 shana. He ruled 40 years. Bechavron Malach sheva shanim. Chavron, he was there for 7 years. Yerushalayim Malach 33 shanim. Yerushalayim was 33 years. Ushlamo yashav b'kzid David aviv v'tikon malchuto me'od. David sits on his father's kingdom, on his throne, and his kingdom is firmly established. Okay? Yafed. Now we're going to see a very interesting request of Adoniyahu, because he is still in the picture. He's going to have a very strange request, and we're going to have to try to understand it. Vayavo Adoniyahu ben Chagit el Batsheva, Eim Shlomo. Adoniyahu goes to Batsheva and says, I have a particular request of you, Batsheva. Batsheva is the mother's, the king of the mother's king. Sorry, the mother's, the king's mother. Vahashalom bo'echa. He says, is everything good by you? How are you doing? Vayomer shalom. She says, good. Vayomer davar li elayach. I have a small, can I have a small word with you? Vatomer davar, she says, speak. Vayomer at yadat ki li ayta melucha ve'alai samu kol yisrael p'neim nimloch. You know, I was going to be the king, and everyone was looking to me to be king. Vatisov ha'melucha v'tihi la'achi. And the melucha was taken and given to my brother. Ki mi'ashem hayta lo. It was from Hashem. Well, that's sort of contradictory. You know, he's sort of saying, I was supposed to be king, but Hashem wanted the other one to be king. There's, you know, it's, so what is he going to ask for? I just have one small request. Al tashivi et panai. Don't, please don't refuse it. Tomer lav daber. She says, speak. Vayomer imri na li Shlomo melech. Please say to Shlomo the king, ki lo yashiv et panayich v'yiteni et avishag ha-shunamit li'isha. Let me have Avishag Shunamit as my wife. Okay. What do you think of this? Diane, what do you think?
It's really funny.
Yeah, why? Why is it funny?
That's not his big request.
What's wrong with this?
What's the king's wife?
What's it got to, what's one got to do with the other? I mean, is he having problems dating on online dating websites? Like, what is this? Like, he's saying, well, you know, I'm not meeting anybody on J-Date. You know, can you please set me up with Avishag?
She's eating the king's bed. She's been in the king's
okay, but it said explicitly bed. David was not with her, but you're saying she's been in the king's bed.
Yes, that, and,
that
and
sounds that, awfully inappropriate.
But it's traditional that it's somebody who wants to take over the kingship.
Ah.
You know, sleeps with
Was she David's concubine?
Well, it's yeah. She was David's.
She
wore no, but it says Vamelech lo yida'ah. He never had relations with her, but
she was a mitapelet from last week.
She was the mitapelet. Yeah, yeah. This is the same mitapelet.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So no, but it says v'ish lo yida'ah, meaning he didn't have he didn't marry her. Now what is Adoniyah?
Should he find any woman that he wanted?
One would imagine that would be the case. So why is it that he wants to take Avishag as his wife? And furthermore, so what happens? Batsheva goes to Shlomo. Batavo Batsheva Lamelech Shlomo. Sorry, Yudchet 18. Batomer Batsheva Tov Anochi Adaber Alach Lamelech. She says, "I'll go speak to the king." Batavo Batsheva Lamelech Shlomo Adaber Lo Adonayahu. She gets up to speak to the king. Fine. What is Adoniyahu? What do we think Adoniyahu's intention is here?
Is it undermining the king?
Is it undermining him? So you don't think he's just interested? You know, he thinks she's a very nice girl. He wants to marry her, raise a Jewish family. You know, it's too straightforward.
It's an ulterior motive.
What is the ulterior motive?
Well, maybe she lived with David because she was looking after him. She knows lots of things about what was going on.
Okay, palace secrets.
Yeah.
Okay. So
which
what?
Which he could use against Shlomo.
Ah, okay. So let's talk about other people who have done this, who slept with their father's pilagshim or concubines. Mm-hmm. Anybody remember the last one who did this in Sefer Shmuel? Avshalom, during Avshalom's rebellion, we're told that when David left, he left his concubines in the harem. Okay. Why is this significant? Big deal. Okay. The answer is that when Avshalom comes to Yerushalayim, he sleeps with every one of them. Okay? And what was this out of desire? Right. What was this for? It was a power move. Why was it a power move? Because he was essentially saying, listen, now that I'm king, I inherit the king's possessions, even the king's women. Okay? And that's what Avshalom does. Okay, and when David comes back to become king, he doesn't. That's it. They're no longer his concubines. Meaning he doesn't. You know, spend any more time with them, because that would be inappropriate. Now, who else does this? There's another famous story in Sefer Bereishit. Reuven. What did Reuven do? I thought Reuven just moved the sheets. What happened with Reuven? So there's a story after Rachel passes away. We're told Vaishkav Reuven et Bilhah Pilegesh Aviv. Reuven, we're told, sleeps with Bilhah, who was one of Yaakov's concubines. Now, according to the Midrash, he didn't sleep with her, he just moved the bed sheets. But the Pshat, if you want to understand the story, according to the Pshat, Reuven is, takes Bilhah. Why was he doing this? Again, power move. I'm the Bechor. My father is on his way out. He's been, he's not who he once was after fighting the angel. We see this also by when Dinah is taken by Shechem, he hardly responds. He says, we need leadership here. I'm going to fill the leadership vacuum. And what does he do? As a power move, he takes Bilhah. Okay? Now, Yaakov is not so happy with this. He essentially curses Reuven later on in his life. So we see that one way of showing that you're the next king is to do this. So this would appear to be Adoniyahu's motive. He even tells Bathsheba his motive. Hey, I was supposed to be king. Now, Bathsheba doesn't really
get it.
Now, I was thinking, why did he go to Bathsheba in particular? Why did he go to Bathsheba? Okay, and it's not clear. Maybe she had some political position. But now I'm thinking about it. Who more than anybody else would want Avishag out of the house? Bathsheba, David's other wife. So maybe saying, you'd understand, and she would be happy. Fine, this is one way to get rid of Avishag, to get her out of the house. So so what happens? Anyone ever seen, there's a show, I think I saw it a few times, called Big Love. Anyone ever seen Big Love?
Yes, for the Mormons.
The Mormons. It's about this family unit. You're not allowed to have more than one wife. Polygamy is prohibited in America. Many other things are permitted, but polygamy is prohibited. And not that I'm suggesting that it should be permitted. It's interesting what's on the books and what's not on the books. Anyway, there's the whole story is this family that are there four or five wives. And you can imagine it's a little bit of a complicated household. And, so that's the story.
They have big friends. Best friends.
They don't see it as complicated.
No, it is. It is. It is. Yeah, they're friends, but they're also, there's competition. Yes. So, now how does Shlomo react to this? Pasukav, she goes to Shlomo. Vatomer, Sheila, Achat Ktana Nochi, Shalat Meitach, Al Tashevet Penai. She says, I have a small request, Shlomo. I hope you could honor it. Vayomer la melech shali imi ki lo ashivet panayich. Ask mother, I won't say no. Vatomer yutalet Avishag ashunamit la Adoniyahu achicha leisha. Can we give Avishag as a wife to your brother Adoniyah? Vayana melech shlomo vayomer leimo. V'lama atoshelet Avishag ashunamit la Adoniyah. Why do you want this? V'shali lo et hamlucha. You want to give him the kingdom as well? Ki hu achi agadol mimeni. He's my bigger brother. V'lo ula avyatar kohen liyed ben Tzuriah. And he had, all these followers. Shlomo swears, Adoniyahu has asked for this, but he's gonna pay for it with his life. Blessed is Hashem, who has put me on the throne, and established me for this kingdom. Adoniyahu is going to die today. Benayahu ben Yehoyada goes and kills Adoniyahu. And that is the end of Adoniyahu. Who was right, Bathsheba or Shlomo, in terms of reading Adoniyahu's intentions? What do you think? Probably Shlomo. Okay, probably Shlomo. And because it was a very strange request. And Shlomo feels, as you could tell, he's very sensitive to anyone trying to undermine his kingdom. And he takes action right away. And he gets rid of Adoniyahu. So we're going to see what happens to Eviatar and to Yoav in the coming next week, please God. So Bezrat Hashem will continue next week.
Everybody should have a good week.